This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We get down to it this afternoon. Mr. Fabulous is here again. Rick Butler sitting in with us. Bear is here. GP3. We are locked, loaded, and ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, not only a big day, but a big week lined up here on The Drive. Trey Wallace is going to jump in here in just a little bit, and we'll talk to him about Tennessee baseball. Man, what a weekend for Tony Vitello's program. We also have breaking football news this afternoon. Tennessee gets another commitment. We'll tell you about that coming up here in just a second. But, oh, man, I think it was a great weekend for Tony Vitello's baseball program. In my opinion, I know we didn't win the series. That's disappointing, but to me, this shows us what we can be, and it also gives us an idea of the scope of the Lindsey Nelson renovations that need to happen sooner rather than later. But with regards to losing, guys, I'll say this. With regards to losing the series, it does suck, but it's hardly the end of the world. The fact that yesterday was so disappointing, in my mind, is a good thing because it shows this place really cares. And the fact that Tony Vitello does not back down, even in defeat, is something that this fan base really responds to. World-class crap talkers. You go back to Lane Kiffin and the love affair that Tennessee fans had with him for about 9 months, and the love affair that some of y'all creepily still have, even though he's not coaching your school and has clowned your school for years and years now. I mean, Tennessee fans love it when their coach ain't afraid to talk a little trash. See Bruce Pearl, see Tony Vitello. Up in that dude's face yesterday. We still don't really know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation out there exactly what went down.
Obviously, there's some kind of an issue. Being somebody that's familiar with issues like that, like he's got something that's bugging him.
They weren't exchanging banana pudding recipes.
And notably as well, I mean, it's not just any coach that Tony Vitello is jawing with at the end of the game. It's his mentor. It's his Yoda. Yeah. I mean, it is one of his main important people.
I'm not here to be – I know you gave me a start, and I like you and appreciate you and
he's
everything.
He's off that guy's tree.
We're on the same – I'm not the young Padawan learner anymore here. We're on the same equal footing here. I get to look you in the eye, and you will respect me.
Respect my authority.
It was good.
Here's the thing, though, guys. Here's why I'm not upset. I mean, upset. I wish we had won, and it hurt to lose yesterday. Don't get me wrong. But overall, I think this is a great weekend for Tennessee baseball. Arkansas has been there for a long time now. They've been to Omaha four times in the last 12 years, okay? They've been what we want to be for a long time. This isn't their first rodeo. It is our first rodeo. It's ours.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, that's okay, man. We've been trying to catch them, and we have closed the gap to where it's barely noticeable, man. All three games, a one-run game.
Well, we played them off their feet.
And yesterday, we've got our best hitter up against their best pitcher. What more can you ask for? It didn't with the
in
game
the bottom
on the
of the
line,
ninth.
Yeah, it didn't go our way.
It did the day before.
It did the day before. And hey, it's a tournament sport. We're gonna be there, man. We're gonna have other opportunities. Didn't go our way this time, but it will in the future.
I was surprised at how just flat-out good Arkansas is on defense.
They had
number one.
Numerous top 10 plays.
Yeah. They don't make mistakes, man. And, again, we talked about this coming out of the Vanderbilt series. We made two very costly errors yesterday. You can't do that. But, again, the gap is they are the better program. You got to give them credit, man. That's why they're number one.
Yeah.
And we're not quite there yet, but, man, we are really close. And that's exciting. You've gone toe-to-toe with the top two programs in the country now and come up just a little bit short.
Something that we talked about all last week heading into that series was we knew if there was anywhere that Arkansas was susceptible out of, let's say, the three phases being starting pitching, relief pitching, and offense, we knew that it was going to be their starting pitching. That was the most susceptible out of that group. We said it all week. Tennessee had to come out, jump on Arkansas early, get out to a good lead, and then hopefully be able to pad that throughout the game. They did half of that right.
Yeah.
But they did a really great job at starting out those games. It's just we need a little bit more throughout. Obviously, you got that on Saturday. But I thought for that part alone, just being able to get out to a good lead, you had good starting pitching behind you. Those were all big positive takeaways from the series, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, and yesterday, both starting pitchers were just
on fire.
Lights out.
Tidwell.
True.
And what did we get out of him? Almost eight innings? Seven?
They left him in seven and a third, or just was it seven? They brought him out. I was surprised that they brought him out that last inning because he had kind
of
slowed down the inning before. And, man, I don't like doing this, but I kind of do because it's the sign of a healthy program. It means we're winning. You're kind of nitpicking. You probably shouldn't have sent him back out there. I was stunned that they sent him back out there. And then I was listening to the whole – I listened to the game on the radio the whole way through, which was kind of – it was kind of fun, man.
Big John had him a weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, very old school. But, you know, they sent him back out there. GP3, you were watching. Did he leave him Tidwell in too long?
Yeah, he shouldn't have come back out for the eighth inning.
I thought they would get him in the seventh inning when we were struggling through that. I can't believe that he left him in for that whole thing.
He somehow dug out of it and got out, escaped.
Well, they got the run. They tied the game.
Yeah, but, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. I've seen Arkansas just absolutely dismantle some teams this year, just grinding them in like that, one, two runs at a time in an inning that never just never ends.
How did the first runner get on in the eighth? Was it a walk or a hit?
Yeah, he walked him.
Was it yesterday when I can't remember the kid's name. He's really good, but he had a boneheaded play.
True. Gilbert
threw to turned just a routine single into a double. He threw it into the dugout, and the ball bounced off the back wall of the dugout back out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of little mistakes that
and it cost us a run.
You just can't make.
Well, twice there was the catcher and pitcher got mixed up and resulted in a passed ball. And that's
we had a lot of passed balls, man. There were
a bunch of those.
Yeah, that.
I mean, he had to get. I mean. They're playing number one. He had to put Pavlone. I mean, had to play. I don't know that he was quite ready.
Yeah, he struggled behind the plate. Even when they put him in for the first – they put him in at the end of the first game, right? He pinch hit, and then he got in there, and he was struggling.
He's got some rust.
Did you see the hit he had at the end of the second game
yeah.
where he thought he fouled it off?
Yeah, and he almost didn't run. I mean, it's like me trying to get my kid to run to first base in a six-year-old Little League game. It's like, dude, you got to run. Yeah. Come on, bro. Just standing there watching it.
You know you hit it.
Anyway, up next, we had a trip to South Carolina. Belmont coming in here tomorrow. A series win against South Carolina would be huge.
I feel like we definitely need to take this series.
Ain't going to be easy, man.
I know it's not, but if you know, you have to. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely send a message that we're in it to win it.
We ain't going anywhere.
I mean, if you lose the series, what message does that send? Is it, man, we're running out of gas down the stretch?
No, I think it all depends. How hard is it going to be to get up off of – I mean, this is a – I mean, they left it all out there on the field by Sunday afternoon. These guys played their hearts out.
Yeah, and again, I think that we ride that emotional roller coaster. This happened in the Vanderbilt. It was almost a carbon copy of the Vanderbilt series in some ways, and you have a dramatic, inspiring win in game two to tie the series when a lot of people didn't think you had it in you, and then you got to come down from that cloud because you got a game again the next day. And our guys haven't been in this position before this late in the season in these big series. You're chasing a conference championship. You're setting yourself up for the conference tournament. You're setting yourself up for the NCAA tournament. We're in uncharted territory here, whereas Arkansas, this is just what they do.
Yeah, it's that part of the season for them right now.
Yeah, this is their program. They've been here. This is what's expected. And so they can lose that game Saturday and then bounce back. They know it's a three-game series, and it's three games, and you have to be up and at your peak for each one. And I don't know. I think we're a little bit roller coastery right now, where we get up and we get a little down at times. I mean,
can't afford to this weekend.
When we got the one run yesterday, and it's like, okay, we're ahead, but it was also, man, we could have had a big inning there. We could have scored three or four runs and
coasted for about four innings.
And you didn't. So there's another step, man. It's a process, but I think we all know this coach is the guy to get us there, man.
Yeah. And again, to your point, I mean, it was a situation that kind of goes back to the first game. And in a lot of ways, the series as a whole was kind of like a three-act play almost, right? There were things that connected through each game. There were things that carried through each game. But one of the notable things were that in each game, Arkansas faced a deficit, and they were able to mount some sort of comeback. I was actually I was tweeting with a good friend of the show, Chris Gabriel, during yesterday's game, and he had this to say. He said, I'd go back.
Christopher Gabriel was locked in, by the way.
He's
tweeting. He's texting me during the series and everything.
He
loves my man,
the analysis.
He's into it.
So he said this. He said, I go back to the early innings of game one. At home with the crowd roaring, they get out to a 5-0 lead with a chance to crush the life out of them, but they don't. They give Arkansas a chance to breathe. I don't care who you're playing. You cannot lose a 5-0 lead at home. And I really think that speaks to, again, that thing that Arkansas faced many deficits throughout the series. But, man, after they were really able to come back from that 5-0 one, I think they just had a lot of confidence. But that confidence is also bred by what you're talking about, just the sense that they've been here before, that this isn't new territory for them to enter.
They don't panic.
Yeah.
They didn't the whole weekend.
Well,
and they got down by five.
Yeah.
And we might be – this might be oversimplifying it, but it might not. This might be the whole thing because at the end of the day – they had Kevin Copps, and we didn't. And I feel like we couldn't touch that guy, and we did not have a pitcher his equal that we could turn the game over to yesterday.
Yeah, it was big. So Tennessee on Friday night's game, no, they did not score a run on Kevin Copps, right? But the plate discipline that Tennessee showed at the plate, again, it didn't help them win on Friday. What it did was directly led to the win on Saturday. I know that you can go and pick out a bunch of other things on Saturday that happened.
Because he pitched so much that he could not pitch on Saturday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had 67 pitches. None of them accounted for a run, but they took him out of the game on Saturday. Now he's able to come back in with more rest on Sunday. But nonetheless, man, that's another way that this series kind of played out, like a three-act play. So Copps was such a big difference maker.
Who was it who gave up the big shot to Fergie?
It wasn't Copps. It was some other guy.
Yeah, Copps couldn't go in again because
he's a freshman.
He threw 67 the game before.
That was a freshman pitcher. His first pitch, they boom, gonzo.
It's a fastball. It's a meatball.
Oh, what a call! What a call!
I'll say this for Wilkerson. I texted
him earlier today.
That was incredible.
That call was. I'm glad to see him get the recognition for that call. It was a good call, but I'm here to tell you, man. Yesterday, I'm driving home, listening to the whole game. His call of in the first inning, in the top of the first, when Jordan Beck put out the runner at the plate, made the damn hair on the back of my neck stand
Woo-hoo!
Up, man. It was awesome.
He is so good. I love it when you spell out the University of Tennessee. I always think that's extra cool.
So, we got a lot to get to here this afternoon. Tennessee gets a commitment in football. Brian Grant class of 2022 offensive lineman from Choctawhatchee High School in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, announces this afternoon that he's committed to the Vols. It is Tennessee's fifth commitment for the class of 2022. And they've all come in like the past 5 weeks for Josh Heupel. Grant chooses Tennessee over. Here's the offer. He's a three-star, okay? GP3 shaking his head and laughing at me right now. We're already doing this? A guy whose name we didn't even know when we woke up this morning. You're already laughing at him, GP3?
Why didn't we know his name?
Because it's recruiting. We don't know all the recruits' names, okay? Just call it. Can we let this guy come in? He hasn't even been committed for an hour. And GP3's already writing him off as a bogus recruit.
No, have you clicked on his 247 profile?
Yes, I've looked at it.
You see what his profile picture is? He's playing basketball in his football profile recruiting.
Okay,
phase.
He's athletic. He's a multi-sport athlete. What do you want? Good grief. The glass is always half empty with you guys. I mean, now, he does choose Tennessee. Here's his offer list. Maryland.
Decent.
Yeah. BYU.
Beat us.
Mediocre.
Well, they were like 12-0 last year. Mediocre.
I mean, they should have lost to us the year before that.
And we should have beat Kentucky last year, did we? No, we didn't. Okay.
Keep going down his offer.
Shoulda. UCF. Hey, we just hired their coach. Can't look
and
that
their AD. Yeah.
Tulane.
Not a bad program.
J.J. McCleskey.
Yeah. Get a good education.
And Florida Atlantic.
FAU? Yep. The Owls? I mean, if I'm that kid, I'm going to Tulane.
What? You're going to Tennessee. It's your best offer.
No, not if I'm that kid's dad, he's going to Tulane.
Why are you?
Because he's skinnier doing? Than you. He's never going to see the field at Tennessee. And if he does, he's going to get killed. Go ahead and go on down to Tulane. They've got a fine medical school, incredible pre-med program.
You guys are
maximize
both of you.
Maximize.
GP3 a bear.
Your
scholarship, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
A Tulane scholarship's worth a lot more in that kid's case than the scholarship he'd get from us.
Hot taking a young man who you don't even know anything about. All you see is his offer list and a picture. Wait, hold on. You guys are both basing your entire hot take off his recruiting website profile pictures.
And I'm basing mine
off
the one.
You guys are morons.
I'm basing mine off the one you showed me when I was like, he looks like he's your kid brother. He's skinny. He's like emaciated looking.
He weighs 268 pounds, Bear.
And he's 6'8".
It said he was 250, I thought. 6'8", 250.
He's only 250 pounds? Oh, my Lord.
At 6'8"?
Can we get this guy a couple of
He can't play offensive tackle
hold on.
In the SEC at
We'll get back to this. You buffoons. You clowns. My Lord.
You will treat us with respect, Russell.
I will treat you with the respect you deserve, which is to say none. Stay with us. Trey Wallace, a man who commands respect, will join us next when we continue on the G3 Help Me Hotline right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire back with you. Pleased to be joined by Trey Wallace of RockyTopInsider.com. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, what's up? How are y'all?
Doing well. Thank you. Do you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. A lot of baseball, a little fighting in there in between, and it was kind of a chill weekend, buddy.
Now, are you referring to the fights in the octagon Saturday night, or the non-fight that we had yesterday between Tony Vitello and his mentor Dave Van Horn after the game at Lindsey Nelson?
Which was pretty wild, to be honest with you. I was referencing the fight Saturday night, but yesterday a little spat that happened after the Arkansas game. That was intriguing to watch. And then I actually went back and watched Van Horn's post-game press conference that Arkansas does, and he was very complimentary of Tony Vitello. He made a little joke about the hot water, about not having hot water, but that was about it.
And that's cool, man. Like they usually cooler heads usually prevail. But my takeaway there is this is the third time that a team has come in and, you know, and we haven't even won the series twice, but teams come into Lindsey Nelson and has had their jimmies thoroughly rustled, as they say, on the interwebs.com. And you had Paul Maneri popping off about it. He didn't like playing at Lindsey Nelson. You had Tim Corbin was much more diplomatic about it. He took the right approach in my mind, which is, yeah, it was a hostile environment. Let's duplicate that at our place. And then you had yesterday Dave Van Horn basically saying, I mean, they won the series. Did the victor go to the spoils? But I don't think they were ready for the atmosphere that they encountered at Lindsey Nelson. It's a hostile team. It's a hostile head coach, and it's a hostile crowd.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that when you look at the atmosphere that was out there for all three great games, it was absolutely crazy. One of their players thought, I forgot which player it was, he talked about it after the game, you know, how, you know, the environment, you know, going into it, we didn't know what to expect when it comes to capacity and you know, fan involvement and how loud it can be, and talking about how different places seem to open up to 100%, you know, right before they come to town, because we're the show, is what they said. But I thought that they were caught off guard by a couple things. And here's the one thing that stood out to me about this series this weekend. There wasn't a 12-6 type game. There wasn't a 7-1 type game. Like, these were all very close ball games that came down to the final two innings. And I think that's something that Tennessee takes away from playing Arkansas this past weekend. You know, and Tennessee shouldn't have been blown out in any game. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, I think they're getting to that level, you know, and it's like what Connor Pavlone said postgame. You know, we can play now with anybody in the country, and we feel like we can beat anybody in the country. And I think that's a great mindset for those kids to have. So, no, getting back to it, I don't know what they expected, the type of atmosphere coming in, but they sure got it. And I thought Tennessee played pretty well. Some fielding errors got to them. I don't know. You know, maybe Russell, you have a different opinion. I don't know if you go with Blake Tidwell for 105 pitches yesterday. But other than that, I mean, Tennessee showed that they're a top five team in the country, and Arkansas had to deal with it all weekend.
No, I agree with you. I think they left Tidwell in too long. I was surprised they sent him back out. Quite frankly, I was surprised that they didn't get him in the seventh inning when Arkansas was in the process of tying it up. But again, this goes back to Vitello and the entire confidence factor. And everybody in the stadium is thinking, as he walks off the hill at the end of the seventh, it's like, okay, got out of a jam there, but that's it, right? He ain't coming back. And they put him back out there. And Vitello's done that a couple of times this year, where he's, in the eyes of some, left a pitcher in there a little bit too long. But maybe that's a little bit of the long game there with Vitello, and saying, look, I've got confidence in my guys, and maybe it's bit him a couple of times, but maybe it comes back to pay dividends in postseason. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
And I'll be honest with you, I think there was a little bit of that postgame when Vitello and Van Horn kind of were having their little conversation, which I loved how Tony kept his gator up, but you couldn't see what he was saying. I think a small part of that was letting the players know that, hey, look, I know we just dropped a series. You guys played your butts off. We're going to be kind of fiery in this thing. I don't think it was all just Tony V wanting to chat with Van Horn. I think he was sending a message to his team.
Yeah.
In a weird way to put it.
He's always playing 3D chess. Vitello's a smart guy, man. I mean, you talk to him, you know. He's a smart guy, and it's all a mental game. He's always got some inspirational thing that he's reading or into, and he's looking forward to the. I'll guarantee you a lot of it was about South Carolina. Was, hey, man, we've got a.
Yeah.
It's almost like it takes the attention away from the fact. We're not sitting here talking today about the fact that Tennessee lost the series. We're talking about the dust up with the coach afterwards. And to me, again, it gets back to the confidence thing. That's what those guys are thinking about. Man, coach is fighting for us. Not thinking about, man, we lost the series. We got to go back this dude up. And they got another big one this weekend against South Carolina in Columbia, a team that's won two national championships in the last 10 years, a team that's accustomed to going to Omaha, a team that's accustomed to winning in the SEC. This is a very difficult series, Trey. And Tennessee's going to have their work cut out for them going into Columbia trying to pick up two wins.
Yeah, but I'm excited about it. I mean, this is, you talk about going, like, this is what you always want. Going into the final weekend of SEC play, and you've got a shot at a division title. I know everybody wants to win the whole SEC, and I get that completely. You also still have a title at the whole thing. You know, if Florida could somehow, we'll see, get hot and go win, two games at Arkansas, and Tennessee takes care of business at South Carolina, which is going to be hard to do to sweep, but I expect them to at least take the series. Then things get very interesting when it comes to the SEC tournament and how big that is. So it's also very beneficial, and this is not a reason why Tony Vitello is doing this, but I was going through his contract last night. And I was going through some numbers. It's also very beneficial to what Tennessee's trying to do to keep Tony Vitello at Tennessee. But there's a little problem. You remember when Tony Vitello signed that agreement that he wouldn't take any kind of pay or bonuses?
Yeah, most of them, except for the eight assistants who didn't. Most of them did that, right? In football.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are $252,000 worth of bonuses out there that he could potentially land just for making the SEC tournament, appearing in a regional, hosting a top 16 seed. So what I'm getting at is that, I think Tennessee has so much to play for next weekend. And I think that Tennessee wants to prove as well that we belong in this situation and we belong here. Next weekend's very key for a lot of reasons. I'm excited. I think Tennessee fans showed that they're excited. They'll get one more home game and then they will be able to host a regional unless they, just drop six straight. I still think they host a regional. I'm excited. I think Tennessee fans should be excited. And Tony Vitello just has to work on some of the lineup situations that he got himself into and a little bit of pitching. I think they're going to be just fine heading into next weekend in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I thought, especially on Saturday, he flat out coached is it Van Horn?
Yes.
Yeah, Dave Van Horn. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that whole deal when he sent him out there, everybody thought for sure that he was going to have him bunt. I mean, that's what, in that situation, you bunt to advance the base runners, and he sent him out there and just told him swing away, and he served him up that.
You heard the story behind that, right?
Huh?
That was his choice. They're having the discussion in the dugout. Should we bunt here?
Yeah.
And they told Ferguson, "It's up to you, man. If you want to bunt, go ahead, lay one down. And if not,
stroke it.
If not, they had. If you want to go ahead and swing away, and then Frank Anderson, the pitching coach, says, "Well, if you're going to swing away, you might as well hit it over the bleeping fence." Was the direct quote, according to Tony Vitello.
Isn't that awesome? That's just pretty cool. Like any kind of,
if you're going to swing, you might as well hit a damn home run.
Yeah.
Right.
Three-run Jimmy.
V, Tony V's talking to Max, and, there's, all right, did we lay a bunt down here in sacrifice? And old Frank Anderson comes in there. Well, you might as well hit it over the bleeping fence.
Taylor.
Guy from Major League.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. I guess there's only one thing to do. Win the whole bleeping thing.
He nuked it. They're hyper-aggressive. They're fun to watch. And Vitello's has gone now borderline nutso on the field twice. He had the dust-up we got thrown in the Vanderbilt game. And then he
Saw Ferguson when he's rounding third after the game winner. He turns to looks right at the dugout, and I think he just gave him a come on or, you know, something. And I remember thinking, like, first of all, that's pretty cool that he does that. But second of all, you just poked the bear, right? I mean, they're gonna be out for blood tomorrow.
But there's I've noticed that this year because I've been watching so much SEC baseball. They all do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of chirping, man. There's a lot of trash talk.
Yeah, things are always getting chippy. Have you noticed that, Trey?
Yeah, but and that's so much fun, man.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Well, if you looked at who was it? Was it Evan Russell? Like when Evan Russell was walking to the outfield yesterday, you know, he looked at Arkansas and said, "We'll see you again." You know, that's just the type of thing you want out of your team.
Unfinished business.
Right, unfinished business. You know, so it's just they have captivated a town. And Saturday, I would say that moment right there on Saturday will live on for years and years and years to come. Because you don't get to experience something like that often. And especially with Tennessee athletics and the state they've been in for the last 10 to 15 years, and especially Tennessee baseball. I know Tennessee's had some decent teams in the last couple of years, but, man, they're on a tear this year. So just a overall, Tony V's not going to be happy because they lost the series. But overall, I think this was a great learning step for them. And also knowing that, even with some of his adjustments, even when he put Booker in, in the eighth.
Yeah.
Against Cubs, too.
Right. He's right. He's just thinking outside the box. And I think that's great for Tennessee athletics and the baseball team. And look, if somebody can give them a hot bat, they're going to go after it. So, props to Tony and what they did this weekend. It's always tough to beat the number one team in the country, but especially when they have a closer who's probably going to end up being the pitcher of the year in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, yep. I think that's a huge thing. There's no shame in losing to one of the best players in the whole country. Tennessee, I mean, they even surprisingly got a run there in the ninth inning yesterday. I don't think there's any shame in not being able to hit Kevin Compts. It's just that you're going to have to figure out a little bit of a different strategy the next time you see him, potentially.
I think Booker would have been all right. He looked like he was holding on to a live wire when he came up to the plate. He jumped all over the first things that Kopp served up to him.
Trey's talking about in Monday's game when he came in and got the pinch hit. He pinch hit for Greer with two outs and doubled down the line. I mean, that almost got us back in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see going forward. All right, Trey, let's talk about the fight game a little bit.
Definitely.
Crazy night Saturday in the UFC in the lightweight division, which has kind of become that's the division right now in UFC, just loaded. And Charles Oliveira beats Michael Chandler to get Khabib's belt. Let's start with the fight before that, though. Tony Ferguson, I mean, this is three times in a row now that he's been outclassed. I know this is a fan favorite. Everybody loves Tony Ferguson. But, man, he got taken apart by Beneil Dariush, who's ranked ninth in that division coming into the fight. Sometimes, Trey, you have to protect fighters from themselves. And this seems to me like another Chuck Liddell situation where, remember, Liddell just kept getting knocked out towards the end of his career, and they had to beg him to stop. And he's still fighting out there now, and it's terrible. Tony Ferguson seems like that kind of guy where
– He looked weak Saturday night. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, you and I were talking. He looked – go back and watch his fight with Gaethje about a year ago. Right. Remember, that was the first
big
sporting event post-COVID. And go back and look at him there and look at him Saturday night, and it looks like he's aged 20 years.
No, I agree completely. And then when you look at when he got into the cage, there was no match. Like, he got taken to the ground, and there was no way he was getting out of it. And then, they it finally gets put to an end. It just – he kind of looked, I don't want to say unhealthy. Maybe it's the wrong term for it. But, man, he doesn't look like he has it anymore. And you hate to see that. It's such a legend. But, yeah, that was just one of those fights, man, where you're going in there. And like me and you were texting, I was like, man, we were excited at first. Then it was like, okay, they need to stop this fight. Like, this is this is not something I want to watch anymore. You don't want to see these guys get absolutely pulverized. And he just didn't have anything. He was on the ground the whole time, and he couldn't slither away. And we'll see. You know, if he wants to continue fighting, maybe he goes to Bellator. But you hope that Dana White sees that, hey, man, look, you don't have it right now, and I don't know if you're going to have it anytime soon again. So that's the tough part about it.
Yeah, some difficult conversations had to be had there. All right, so Oliveira takes the belt. I mean, an epic fight.
That was awesome.
Could have gone either way. I mean, it looked like at the end of the round, it's like, oh, Michael Chandler's got this. Oliveira hits him with a clean left hook, stuns him, jumps on him. They stop the fight. I feel like I want it. I told you Saturday, I want to see it again, like right now, like tomorrow. Let's do it again. It seems like there's so many other guys, though, that are worthy of a title shot in that division. We mentioned Justin Gaethje. Dustin Poirier is probably due a shot there. You've got McGregor hanging out in there. Who do you think Charles Oliveira should fight next?
I don't know. I would like to see it again. Like, I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm not going to lie. I really would. I think he got caught. And when you get caught like that, and that first shot, you know, because he did so well coming out of the gates, and, you know, Stunker didn't get to see a lot more of it, but I don't know who you put up against right now. I thought Olivier was so good technically on the ground, and then, you know, they finally decided, you know, okay, let's stand him up a little bit here. You know, there were times I was like, okay, Chandler's got him. And then there were times where Olivier was on the ground, and I was like, okay, he's going to make him tap. And then, you know, they stand him up, and Olivier just comes at him and 1-2, you know, out. I don't know who you put in that spot right now. You know, do you see what happens with Connor versus, you know, what, Dustin, and kind of go from there? Like, I don't know. I really don't know.
Who do you want to see Ngannou fight? Who should – is there anybody? Do you want to see John Jones, Francis Ngannou?
I would love to see if John Jones can back up his talk. Like, I mean, let's be honest. What's going to sell the fight, John Jones? I mean, Francis has gone through so many different guys. If John Jones thinks he can do it, put him in the ring. Put him in the octagon and let's just go. And I don't like John Jones, so I'd like for Francis to go in there and pummel him for a couple of rounds and get it over with, and John Jones just goes away. But I think that you might as well give it to him, because we're all about the day and age of selling pay-per-views and getting money out there, and I think they're the only two guys that could probably sell out, you know, a 25,000, 30,000-seat, 40,000-seat arena or stadium-type deal. And right now, you know, I think they need that type of fight, too, because you look at the other divisions, you know, nobody's going to beat Usman.
Yeah, I think it would be it'd be the biggest fight in UFC history. I mean, I think it would be
– We say that a lot, but I agree with you there. Like, every time they open up the card, this is the biggest card in UFC history. But, like, honestly – I think if we got that fight, I think you could actually put that phrase to it. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think it would be cool. I also think it's good. You know, let's watch this Oliveira dude. I know he's not necessarily that charismatic, although, man, he was – I've never seen a guy happier to win a belt than he was Saturday. But I keep my eye on Khabib and see if, you know, if Oliveira or somebody else takes off in that division, would he ever consider coming back for – a GSP, like, you know, he was done 4 years when he came back.
I just
and fought.
Don't feel like he's done. Like, there's just something that these fighters always do. This man,
he's 32, and he's never really been pushed to the brink.
No, not at all.
Which maybe that's the way he likes it.
Coming back. Yeah, whatever. But don't,
he's a different dude.
I wouldn't want to go with him for at least. I wouldn't go 30 seconds. I don't care how much money you gave me. But still, no, I would like to see what he does. And I guess what? The next big fight that we have is Connor, right? This summer?
So he's fighting Poirier again. This is their third fight?
Yeah, I think they're rolling with the third fight.
Yeah, I think Poirier wins. And if he does that, then you have to give him a title shot, I would say.
Right. No, I agree. So I'm excited. I always like watching Conor fight. So even though, you know, even if he might lose it. Also, give me like the Diaz trilogy. Like, I'll take that.
No, yeah,
money for that.
I've kind of forgotten about that. I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, that was the fight I wanted to see, was McGregor Diaz 3. But I don't even know if Nate Diaz is still. I'm looking at the rankings right now, and I don't even see him listed in there.
It doesn't matter. So. He's so tough. Just put him in there. He doesn't need to be ranked.
We're just good. Put him in there and put the BMF belt on the line.
Right, exactly. Just let him and Connor just go at it for 5 minutes.
Those are some great fights, man.
Yeah, all the blood we can get.
All right, Trey, we appreciate you. Any football or basketball thoughts before we let you go?
I have no idea about Tennessee's new commitment. All I know is he hadn't played football long. He's a basketball-type player, Brian Grant. I think that, you know, they're always going after these different type of position players that are athletic to their schemes that they're running. I think that if they weren't high on him, like really high, especially with Tennessee's offensive line room and who they're going after, then they wouldn't have taken the commitment today. And it was also very interesting that you get a commitment too, by the way, before camp starts and before you can actually see these guys on campus. So take that for what it's worth, but we'll see. Got a lot of stuff coming up. Basketball recruiting, put out some stuff today. BJ Edwards, Bears boy, is taking an official visit to Tennessee next month, and they're also hosting a couple different other 5-stars. So lots of things going on, and Tennessee baseball still going. So I appreciate you having me on, buddy.
Yeah, man, appreciate you. Go check him out at RockyTopInsider.com. Trey Wallace making his presence felt. Thank you, Trey.
Thanks, boys. Love y'all. Peace.
Trey Wallace on
see you,
the
Trey
G3
Wallace.
Help Me hotline.
Until we meet again.
Until we meet again. Wallace. We should have.
We didn't ask him about. We didn't give him a chance to say anything about his cousin. Had a really good run yesterday at Dover.
Bubba did?
Yeah.
Good for him.
And then if. It was just one of those deals where at the end. The last, what, like probably 40-something laps just ran out green. So he kind of got caught on old tires. But
God, happens.
Faded at the end. But
where,
anyhow,
where were they racing?
Dover. They're in Delaware. In that half-mile.
Yeah.
Concrete.
That's a very brutal, Delaware track.
It's a very brutal race.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Open up the phone lines here. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, 546-8200, your number to get on the show. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Learning some more about Tennessee's newest offensive line commitment, Brian Grant.
I've got a question for you about this kid.
From Fort Walton Beach, Florida. This is what his head coach, Frank Beasley, says about him. This is from Rivals.com, VolQuest. Brian is a big, tall, strong, athletic guy who has lots of potential. He's learning and getting better every day. He's new to football and is new to the offensive line. He's an offensive tackle all the way. Athletically, he has good feet. He's quick, and he can really bend for a guy of his height. He weighs between 270 and 275 right now, and with his frame, he could carry more weight and keep his athletic ability. He's just scratching the surface of his ability.
Sounds like the speed and the athleticism are going to be the big talking points around this guy. Obviously, going back to what his coach said. But, you know, he said himself, again, according to Rivals, basketball has helped me with my athleticism and my footwork. It makes it so much easier to move because of the quickness I've learned playing basketball. I mean, really, how many times have we seen on a number of occasions that just kind of those guys who can play multiple athletes in high school who aren't really tied down to a sport can often use some of the things that they learn in the other sport. We talked about it with Taven Jackson.
A lot Taven of these
Jackson's
guys.
Brother is a basketball player for Indiana.
Well, here's what may end up happening. Just throw it out there. I mean, if this kid's 6'8" and 260 and is
270 or 275,
yeah,
according to his
really
coach.
Athletic, quick, and is a good basketball player. What you think? They just slip him out to tight end?
No, it sounds like they're recruiting him as an offensive lineman because they took their tight end from Cincinnati last week. So I think that this is maybe controversial to some. Butch Jones wanted the quote-unquote smaller, more athletic offensive lineman. Jeremy Pruitt comes in. No, we want the big ballers up front. And it seems like Glenn Ellerbe and Heupel are going for the more athletic offensive lineman. Now, I would submit to you that Butch Jones's offensive lines were better than anything Jeremy Pruitt put out there. And a lot of it comes down to players. But, I mean, we had look at the two big five stars that Pruitt signed, Darnell Wright and Wanye Morris. Just calling it like I see it, those guys were soft as Charmin. Now, I hope they can toughen Darnell Wright up because he's still here. And I know Wanye went to Oklahoma, and they're quote-unquote five stars. But does anybody here think that they played like five stars at any point the past 2 years?
No, they absolutely didn't.
So
Wanye
look,
may have had a couple of moments, yeah, but Darnell Wright's, no.
I think they both had great potential. They both looked the part. They look like athletic specimens. And I don't think Pruitt – I don't think Will Friend was a good offensive line coach. That was Pruitt's buddy, and he didn't do those guys any services because they, you know, whatever they had to do, tell them in recruiting to get them to come here, they did not do a good enough job of, quote-unquote, de-recruiting them and getting them locked in to where they can take hard coaching because those guys didn't develop.
Those guys you have to hard – those guys require hard coaching.
So I don't know, man. I'm not a coach. I'm not here to say that one method is better than the other, the size versus athleticism debate. I feel
proper
like
proper coaching's a must, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be able to know what to do with it. Once
well,
you
with
get it.
With most things, the answer's somewhere in the middle, right? I want big, athletic, offensive linemen. I think that's what everybody wants. But you got to recruit to your scheme a little bit. Hey, if we're going to be running a bunch of screens and stuff and we need our offensive linemen to, quote-unquote, get out in space and block guys on the edge or whatever they say out there, then it doesn't seem like we should be out there recruiting a bunch of 6'3", 340-pounders.
No.
So
there's just always a worry in this league, given the aggressiveness and size and strength.
Well, and I think the
speed of – SEC defenses that you got to have a little bit.
The skeptics out there will look at Butch Jones. Remember the last two guys he got were Niehaus and Marcus Tatum, and both those guys were like 6'6", 250.
Yeah.
And they put on weight and got bigger, and Tatum played well for UCF when he went down there, which is an interesting crossover there. But they were literally 250 pounds coming out of high school. This guy's already 270. I'm not telling you that he's going to be the next Anthony Munoz or anything. I'm just saying I'm withholding judgment. And if he's a legit 270, it's not uncommon for offensive linemen to gain 30-plus pounds.
And he said that as much.
Once they get to school.
Yeah, he said that as much to Rivals in an interview. He wants to get to probably going on 300 in pure muscle by the time I'm done. So,
and if he's playing basketball, you burn a lot of calories doing that. Once you stop playing basketball – 18-year-old human beings can eat a lot of food, and you can put on a lot of pounds, especially now with sports nutrition.
Just put them in the deer antler spray showers. I don't care.
Just feed them 5 protein shakes a day. That'll put on 20 or 30 pounds just like that if you're not, you know, burning it all off through rigorous exercise. So we'll see. Brian Grant, the latest commitment. I'm sure GP3 will have much more coming up. The top four at 4, right here on Fan Run Radio. We'll take some phone calls as well, find a hot question to get into, that sort of thing, when the drive continues. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio coming up.